I noticed this year that every year it seems that the Christmas decorations come out just a little earlier than they do than they did the year before, and it just keeps moving further back and further back. I noticed something interesting this year I don't think I've ever noticed before, and I may be wrong, but it seemed to me that this year I saw Christmas decorations before I saw Halloween stuff this year. I may have seen Halloween stuff and didn't remember it, but I know specifically the day that I saw Christmas decorations, I had not noticed Halloween stuff being out yet. And so, Christmas things are out and Christmas lights and those kinds of things. And it just kind of got me to thinking some of the similarities, and I know this may rankle a few feathers for a moment, got me to thinking of some of the similarities of Christmas and Halloween, and what we have. Stick with me. I knew it would stick. It would get to some folks, and a lot of that has to do with our society and the marketplace. When you consider, again, here we have Christmas decorations out early October. Already on the shelves, already lights and decorations and Christmas books already on the market, ready to go. And Halloween decorations, for that matter, I don't know about you, but most folks in here can remember, when Halloween ended about 4 o'clock or so on Halloween afternoon, you went, oh, I better run to the store and get some candy. And now it has become this huge, marketing blitz. I was in the drugstore near our house the other day, and it honestly looked like a Halloween party. I mean, there were probably 3 or 4 aisles dedicated to Halloween candy and Halloween costumes and Halloween toys and you name it. There are aisles in the store that when you go into them, Tim just said, I don't want to go down that aisle. There's so much out there that we have commercialized Halloween. I was reading an article this week about a store that is basically, from what I could read in the article, basically a year-round Halloween store. That's their major thing, costumes, Halloween stuff. I really wonder how they survive all year long, but I think about it again. Some of you are old enough to remember that when Halloween costumes consisted of one of those little suits that we now know were basically walking gasoline, that if a match hit them, if a spark hit them, your kid went up like a bomb, and those little masks, if you remember the mask that had, the little, I don't know why they bothered putting it on there. What they really should have done to those masks was punch 2 holes and said, tell your mama to give you a piece of string, because that little rubber thing was not going to last. I mean, it just was not going to stay on there. And so, that's pretty much what Halloween consisted of. And you know what the costumes have become? I recently read that Halloween has actually become the number one day of the year in bars, that the most alcohol is consumed is on Halloween Day, that it has become the day, the Halloween parties that night. And so the commercialization between the two has become very common, very similar. The other thing that I've noticed about the two, that as I thought about this, has become very similar, is all of us, or maybe not all, but most of us, especially in the last few years, there's been a really strong backlash at the Christmas season about this idea of happy holidays. And the stores not selling Christmas trees anymore, but selling holiday trees. And so there's been a really big backlash to that. And some of the retailers have suffered because of that. In fact, as we get closer to Christmas, one of the things we're going to have on the marquee out front says Mary Moss. It's just not the same without Christ, is it? We've kind of taken Christmas, and it's much more about the family gatherings, and they're great. It's much more about the food, and hey, that's good. It's all about the gifts, and no problem. It's about time off from work. It's about football games. It's about all kinds of things. Christmas has, there's very little connection. Generally speaking, it may be at your house or whatever, but generally speaking, there's very little connection between Christmas in Christ. It's just we've kind of lost that connection. We've kind of separated. Just, you know, the majority of people just don't make that connection in their Christmas celebrations. In fact, in many places, they not only don't do it, they're forbidden to do it. The kids in school, if you notice the things they come home with now. Now they don't have a Christmas break, they have a holiday break or a winter break. And so, you know, we've just kind of divorced Christ from Christmas. On the other hand, the similarity that I see is in a lot of ways we've done the same way with Halloween. Now, many of you here are, you know, and I'm not trying to get into the right, wrong. That's a subject for another talk someday. But we've kind of divorced the original idea of Halloween from where it started. Just as we've taken Christ out of Christmas, we've kind of taken evil out of Halloween. You know, we've kind of made it fall festivals, and we've, you know, the pictures, the decorations we hang up, it's you know, it's more about the leaves and the straw and the pumpkins. We've kind of, you know, done the same thing in a lot of ways to Halloween that we've done to Christmas. We've kind of baptized Halloween, I think, and, you know, we've kind of taken the whole idea of evil and what it's all about. I remember one time hearing someone say that Halloween was like the devil's Christmas, and we've kind of taken the whole idea of evil and wrong and Satan, not just out of Halloween, but out of our culture. We've kind of got rid of this whole idea of a real devil. We've kind of got rid of that. We don't like to talk about that anymore. It's kind of went hand in hand with the whole idea that there's not really a God. That God is whoever you want Him to be. And you know, let's face it, if I have the authority to decide who God is, I certainly have the authority then to decide who the devil is and if he even exists. And we've come to the point where if there's no devil, then what does that mean? Then there's also no hell. Yeah, you don't have a devil, you don't need a hell. And so we've just kind of, all those ideas have kind of been pushed out of our culture, out of our mindset. You know, oh, we still talk about there's good and bad. Or we may even say good and evil, but generally we don't even say good and evil. We say good and bad or right and wrong. We've kind of taken and just again kind of sanitized, baptized, this whole idea of evil, right along as we've kind of got rid of this whole idea of God and spirituality and heaven. We've on the same hand, we've taken and kind of pushed hell and Satan off to the side. You know, we live in a society where everybody's going to heaven, where it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. And so we've just kind of pushed that whole idea away, which is very contrary to what, quite frankly, the Bible says. Yeah, it kind of, yeah, I guess, you know, I don't know if that matters to you. It kind of contradicts what the Bible says from beginning to end. You know, the Bible says there's more than just good and bad. The Bible says there's more than just right and wrong. The Bible says there's righteousness and there's evil. The Bible says there is a God of righteousness and there is a God of evil. The Bible says there is a Lord and there is a Satan. There is there is an evil. There is a right. And the Bible is very clear on that distinction. And so as we come here, we're sitting here, you know, a day from Halloween and a whole lot closer to Christmas than most of you want to admit or realize. I think we're somewhere around the neighborhood of about 50 days, I believe, 55, something in that neighborhood. You didn't realize it was that close, did you? You know, Diane's looking at me with that look. She, for two reasons. She hadn't got all her Christmas shopping done, and she takes care of the Christmas place. So she's got, you know, several reasons that when I remind her how close Christmas is, you know, it would really bother, while I'm here, I might as well get up under her skin good. You got to do the Christmas play a week before Christmas, so that knocks off seven more days. So just thought I'd let you know. But as we say, let's talk for a moment about this idea that the Bible often talks about as darkness. What are we going to do with this idea of darkness and evil and wrong? And Paul writes a couple verses here in his letter to the Colossians that, to be honest with you, they're not super duper theology. It's really just kind of a presentation of Christianity 101. It's just really the very basics of what the Bible is all about. As Paul says, what are we going to do? How are we going to deal with this issue of darkness? And he says something I think is very profound and deserves a great deal of attention on our part. When he says in this verse, in verse 13, he says there that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, I don't get mad at me, but I want to take just a moment and I want to do something to this verse, and I'm not trying to take from or add to the Word of God. I just want you to look at something to help illustrate something, to help you to see something that is there by taking it away for a minute. I want to read this verse to you, and you listen to this. Paul could have just as easily written this verse this way, and for most of us, we would have never known the difference. We would have never thought about it. But the insertion of two words here changes, when you begin to think about it, everything that Paul says. Paul could have just as easily written this, that who hath delivered us from the darkness. He could have left out the power of. That doesn't have to be there for you and I to comprehend the message. We understand what Paul is talking about if he says he has delivered us from darkness, don't we? Well, we understand. We have this image in our mind. It's just something that is emblazoned in every culture, in every society throughout time. Good guys wear white. You worse than Archie the other night missing the answer when there was only one answer. Yeah, I always like multiple choice tests. I gave a multiple choice quest the other Sunday night. There was one answer left, and Archie got it wrong. Yeah. Yeah. Here we are. Good guys wear.
White.
Again, this is the lady who locked her keys in her car with her car running one time. So, yeah, got to give her some room. Yeah, love you, Debbie. But good guy and bad guys wear. That's just something. You know, I think you could go to any culture at any time in history and put a picture on the screen of the Lone Ranger and whoever the bad guy is, Blackjack McCoy or whoever, put them on the screen and say, which one of these are the good guy? And if they've never heard of the Lone Ranger, never seen the Lone Ranger, which some of you looking at me right now obviously have not, Caleb's never seen that. Just on my own kids have no clue who the Lone Ranger is. No idea who the Lone Ranger is. Yeah, but you could put a picture of the Lone Ranger and you could put a picture of Blackjack McCoy, if there's even such a person, on the screen and put them up and say, which one is the good guy? And they would immediately choose the Lone Ranger because the Lone Ranger wore white. If this passage says, who has delivered us from darkness, every one of us would still get Paul's point, wouldn't we? We'd know that Paul was talking about darkness or evil, bad, wrong, unrighteous. We would still get it. It wouldn't change that much, you think. If Paul would have just simply said, he's delivered us from the darkness and moved us to the light, we would have got it, wouldn't we? That would have made sense to us. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to insert two words, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. And as I studied that and began to think about that, I think the Holy Spirit, I think that's there for a specific reason. I think, I don't know how much the Colossians needed it, but I certainly know we live in a society, we live in a time today where we need to understand this picture of darkness that Paul gives us. Paul is saying that darkness is a power. Yeah, that it's not just darkness, but he says the power of darkness. In other words, Paul, we live in a time where we're coming up, just so you'll remember, this coming weekend, we're going to change our clocks again. You know, personally, if I was in charge, I think we'd set our clock backs 1 hour every weekend. Yeah. Sooner or later we'd be eating lunch at dark, but you'd be getting an extra hour of sleep every night. That's kind of my thought about it. We're going to set our clocks back. Well, one of the biggest groups who support this whole idea of time change and making the days longer, you know who it is? Two main groups. One of them is the grilling industry, because they make a lot of extra money, because the more daylight there is, the more we grill and the more we eat. Figure that's America. Farmers are involved in it. The policemen. Policemen are one of the largest, or one of the biggest supporters of changing time. You know why? Crime. There's more crime happens at night. You know, there's more crime that happens in the dark. There's two things that I believe. I've got a sign hangs in my office that has been there now 13, 14 years. There's a specific reason it hangs there. There's a specific incident that it refers to, but it applies to many things. Some of you may have noticed it. Hangs up on over the window behind my desk. It says, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. Okay? You know, you'll find that to be extremely true. Most people don't get in too much trouble by themselves. Put them in a group. You know, downhill. Second thing I know is it's really dangerous to get a large group together at night. Darkness tends to bring out the worst in us. You know, that's when the majority of crime happens. And Paul in this letter says that. He doesn't just say he's delivered us from darkness, but he's careful to say the power of darkness. Again, we live in a society who has come to the point where they want to talk about good and bad, right and wrong, but stop and think about it a moment. When is the last time you heard somebody in a discussion of wrong, in a discussion of bad, in a discussion of the things that are not right, have ultimately boiled it down and said, here's the problem. Satan is running loose in society. How many of you had an old grandma or great-grandma who used to say about somebody who was a little bit wild, a little bit mean, they'd look at him and say, he's full of the devil. You ever heard that saying? When's the last time you heard that one? We don't talk about the devil anymore. We talk about bad. We talk about wrong. We talk about not right. However we want to clean it up, but very seldom do we talk about the fact that there is a power of darkness running loose in our society. You know, when's the last time you heard someone talking about a lion roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour? We've made Satan into this little clown character in red long johns. Let's just be honest. You know, all you got to do is look around, and there'll be kids running all over the place tomorrow night dressed up as the devil. And you know what the costume will be. It won't be some ferocious dragon-looking animal. It'll be a little cute fella walking around with a pumpkin. You know, we have cleaned up the image of Satan. We've done the exact same thing at Halloween that we've done at Christmas. We've just kind of divorced the whole idea of evil from Satan. I'll give you a great example. In my mind, anyway, great example. You know, since my sermon, I've got to have great examples. You know, here it is. You remember 5 or 6 years ago when all across the Southeast they were having church burnings? Churches were being burnt down? And what was the reason that I always said it was? Said it was racially motivated. Well, here's what came out later that never was really talked about. The truth of the matter was that there were more white churches that were burned at that time than there were black churches. But here's what I said, and I'm not the only one. I'm not like the voice in the wilderness here. There were others who felt the same way. When all of this was going on, I steadfastly said, this is not about race. This is about evil. This is about Satan. This is about burning down God's house. This isn't, you know, the person may have some race in their mind. They may have other things in their mind. But the fact of the matter is that evil, regardless, comes back to Satan. When we think about lies, what do we think about? We think about somebody being a liar. Well, here's reality, folks. If you hear a lie, where did it come from? Satan. Why? Because the Bible says what about Satan? He is the father of lies. So if you hear a lie, it's one of his youngins running around. Yeah, the fact of the matter is, when we look around us and we've tried to social engineer it, we've tried to come up with programs in school, we've tried to come up with television programs, and we're going to correct this and this and this. Let me tell you, folks, what's wrong, and I don't want to throw them under the bus, please understand me, because those of you who know me know how I feel about our young people. You know, but you hear people all the time talking about what's wrong with the younger generation. Let me give you two reasons what's wrong with the younger generation. Their mamas and their daddies and the devil. Just that simple. You know, you want to know what's wrong with the older generation? The devil. You know what you want to know what's wrong with the middle generation? The devil. You want to know what's wrong in America? Not the Republicans, not the Democrats. You know what's wrong in America? The devil. You're catching on. You know what's wrong in the world? The devil. You know what's wrong on Wall Street? Bunch of nuts living on it for one thing. And the devil. Yeah. Look around us, and when you see evil, it's not just a product of poor parenting. It's not just a product of single parent homes that some people want to blame on. It's not just a result of poverty. It's not just a result of problems in the education system. It's not just, if anything, you could go back and point it more to the church than anything, because the problem with evil in the world is the devil. That's why it makes such a huge difference that Paul doesn't just say he's delivered us from darkness, but he says there is a power in that darkness. It's not the darkness that's the problem, it's the power behind the darkness. That's the problem. That's where the issue is. We need to understand today that when the Bible tells us what? It says we're not just wrestling against flesh and blood, but what? Principalities and powers. Listen, we need to understand the problem in this world is not darkness. You know the old saying that says, don't curse the darkness but light a light. We don't need to curse the darkness. What we need to do is see the source where that darkness is coming from and understand that we are in a war against Satan himself. We need to understand that clearly. We've got to understand that our children, this is not just a battle against, culture. It's not just a battle against society. We've got to understand as parents, Jason, they got to understand about Jack. We have to understand about Tinsy. The girls. Listen, the reality is this is not just a battle about how our children are going to grow up. This is not just a battle about who our children are going to be, what kind of education. This is a battle for their soul. I'm not trying to get you to see Satan behind every door. But what I do want you to understand is when you see, hear, learn of evil, be sure that somewhere the power of darkness is at work. Paul wants us to see that picture clearly. We have decided, well, there's just right and wrong. Yeah, there's right and wrong, but there is a reason there's wrong. And it is the power behind the darkness. Listen, we are battling for eternity. This is we forget sometimes. The church, I think, has led the way in this, unfortunately. We have ourselves sanitized Satan right out of the discussion. The fact of the matter is, let me lay it out real plain for you. Do you know what Satan wants for you?
Destruction.
Death. Hell. There's not much way to clean that picture up. That is the power. That is the picture that Paul paints here when we begin to talk about darkness. This is not just, oh, they'll be okay one day. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. Some of the Greek word for it is baloney, that has come up in our culture. This is the very power of darkness that you're up against with your family, with your children, with your own life. The picture of darkness. Now that he's given us a picture, he goes on and he tells us something else. He says, okay, I got a plan. Again, this is just Bible basic here. Now, this is not great. Paul tends to make a short story long sometimes, but he says, because he has translated into the kingdom of his dear son, and in whom, in his dear son, we have redemption. You know what the cure for darkness is? Anybody know?
Light.
Ta-da. Told you it wasn't complicated. It's just not. When you walk in a room and it's dark, what do?
Turn on the light.
Yeah. Gotcha. You're down there in Burgard to pull strings, don't they, Jason? Yeah. I remember my great grandmother's house. She is fancy. I mean, it's high cotton back. You know, she had the little strings on her lights, but she'd got really long strings. And the light was like in the middle of the room, and she'd swung them over and put them on a nail over to door casing. It was the first light switch for her. You know, so when you walked in the room, you just pulled the chain from. You didn't have to walk around the middle of the room to find it. She could pull it from the door. You know, anybody else have that? My great grandma, ahead of the time, boy. They still got them in Berg, Alabama, don't they? You know, listen. Y'all think I'm picking? I'm not picking. It's true. You know, I've been out to where she's from. Words fail me. You know. Words fail me. You know, gives new definition to the backside of nowhere. I mean, you know, well, here's the problem. They've got those fancy strings. They just don't have electricity yet. You know, it's just, you know, you know, they're ready if they ever get it, you know. But, you know, light is the cure to darkness. And Paul says, I got a plan. Redemption. If you're in the dark, get out. You know, again, not brain surgery, not complicated theology. Paul says there is the power of darkness and there is the power of light. Pick. If I was to summarize this verse for you and I was to take it out of King James English and just put it in Jimmy English, that's what it says. It says there is darkness, there is light, there is the power of the darkness, there is the power of the light. Choose one. He says, we have redemption. We have forgiveness of sin. Paul says, you didn't see what Paul is saying? Paul says, look at that verse. He says, we have redemption. We have forgiveness. He says it is literally sitting on the table. Reach out and pick it up. That's what he says. He says, we have redemption. We have forgiveness. We don't have to do anything. We have it. It's there. You walk in a dark room and you sit down and the power's on and somebody comes in and says, what are you doing sitting in the dark? I don't know. Why don't you come on the light? That's what Paul was saying. Paul says, we don't have to live under the power of darkness. He said, I've got a plan. Redemption. Get out of the dark. Just that simple. So I want you to understand something this morning. And I know for many of you, this is again, basic Christianity. But I want you to hear something very clear this morning. There is the power of darkness, and there is the power of light, and that's it. That's it. That's the only power there is. Not a choose C. Thankfully, because aren't you get it wrong? You know, it's not a multiple choice test. There's only two answers. You know, we live in a society who likes the Golden Corral mentality of religion. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. Go through and get a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this. You know, here I go, it's too late. I was reading an article last night, you know, about Smiling Jack from Houston. Yeah, you know, and I didn't say his name. It rhymes with posting. Yeah, you know, it just, you know, for the life of me, I'm doing way too far down this road. Don't buy his books. Don't send him money. He is a false prophet who wouldn't know the Bible if it hit him in the head.
Take a stand.
That's just kind of the way I feel. I read an article last night where he said Mormonism is just another form of Christianity. Now, I don't know, but I've seen him before he preaches to him and said, this is the Bible, I believe what it says, I have what it says. He evidently don't know what it says because it's not another form of Christianity. There is no other form of Christianity. There's the power of light and there's the power of darkness. And if you don't like that, I'm just going to be honest with you. Your problem is not with me. No more than when the mailman brings you a big bill, is that your problem with the mailman. That your problem is with the Word of God and Him Himself. Because the Bible says there is the power of light, there is the gospel, there is Jesus Christ, there is one way to salvation, narrow is that way,
and broad is the way of destruction. And Paul says here, there is the power of darkness, there is the power of light, and that power of light, that redemption, that forgiveness is sitting on the table. All you have to do is reach out and take it. I got a plan. But he goes on in case you missed it, and goes a little further, and he says, not only do I have a plan, let me tell you who is the person of my plan. The image of the invisible God. Who is the image of the invisible God? Who made God flesh? Who brought God visible to man? Jesus Christ. He says, here it is, just in case you missed it. Here's how you deal with darkness. You bring in the light of the world, and the darkness will flee. See, here's something. I'm not real scientific. I don't know a whole lot of stuff. Don't know a whole lot of these thermodynamic rules and all this stuff. But I know this. You can bring your biggest dart gun. You can bring the super duper dart machine. Puts out all the darkness you want to. I can reach in my pocket, pull out a book of matches and strike one match, and my one match will beat your super-duper dart machine all day long and twice on Sunday. Darkness cannot overcome light. Amen. Never. The smallest light will put out the biggest dark. I don't know what the biggest dark is. I tell you how I do. I know what the biggest dark is. Walk through a church in the dark. That's the biggest dark. Somebody walking through a church in the dark. That is the biggest dark in the world. I've walked up and down this aisle a million times in 16 and a half years. I still struggle in here in the dark. Church dark is the biggest dark in the world. Pull out your cell phone, and the little bit of light that comes out of your cell phone, darkness goes, pfft. Got to go. It's got to go. There's power of darkness, but the power of darkness has no say-so over the power of light. You turn on the light, and the darkness flees. Now, some of you are sitting here this morning and say, Jimmy, that's good. Boy, you told them lost people. Man, I hope a bunch of them get saved this morning. Well, here's what I know, is even though I pay my power bill, come spring, there's a better than average chance that a thunderstorm's going to come along and I'm going to end up in the dark. See, here's what I know about Christians. Even though we have tasted, we have seen the light. It's kind of like being out in the woods around a campfire. We'll have a great big roaring campfire sitting here, and you know, we get to wandering around and we get to messing, and the next thing you know, we've drifted away from that fire and we're over here and don't even realize that we're in the dark. Now, I don't know what you think. You've probably realized by now, don't particularly care. Elvis Presley's the greatest gospel singer ever lived. Me and Caleb listened to it. Well, most mornings, y'all know my throat's been bothering the last few weeks. Caleb got a reprieve. I have to double up on him next week. Me and Elvis sing Caleb to church every Sunday morning. I mean, Elvis is about to get it right. I keep working with him. He's about to get it. But there's one song that every Sunday morning, I got a station on my satellite radio that's all Elvis all the time. Except when they talk. I wish they'd quit talking and just let Elvis sing. You know. But Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, they play gospel music. Well, there's one song that never fails. This one comes on every Sunday morning. It's called Run On. And this morning, of all mornings, they wasn't playing it. And there's a line in there I wanted to remember. I had a backup plan. I got a CD. Elvis singing gospel. And I popped it in there. And it don't always work, so I had to keep messing with it. Finally, by the time I found it on the CD, Caleb says, look, and sure enough, right there on the screen of the radio, you know, it tells you what it's playing. It's playing the song by then. There's a line in that song that says this, just as sure as God made the day and the night, what you do in the dark will be brought to light. You may think you're in the darkness and nobody knows. And you may be right. You may think you're all alone out in the darkness. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Nobody sees. But God knows. And just as sure as God made today and tonight, what you do in the dark will be brought to light. Some of you sitting here this morning, you know you've been saved, you know you're a Christian, but you know there's things in your life that you want to keep in the dark. Here's what I've learned, and you know this too. What we do in the dark has a habit of creeping out. Best deal with it. Things in your life you'd rather nobody know, and I'm not asking you to come up here this morning and make a speech and a confession in front of everybody. What I'm suggesting you to do today is come up here to this altar and say, Lord, there's some things you know that's been going on in the dark. We need to get them to light. We need to deal with them. We need to get rid of them. We need to straighten them out. You're here today and you say, you know what, I know I'm a Christian, but there's some things in my life I've been keeping in the dark. Maybe keeping in the dark for years. But you need to come up here and you and God need to discuss them this morning. You need to discuss them. You and Him need to deal with them. But perhaps you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. You're not just in the dark. The Bible says you're dead. Bible says you're dead without Christ. You've never asked Christ into your heart. You don't have a personal relationship with Him. You've never accepted Him into your heart as Savior. You are controlled. You are gripped by the power of darkness. And redemption and forgiveness are right here for the taking. Would you step out the very first note as our musicians come? Would you step out on the very first note and say, I'm tired of living in the darkness. I want to know Christ. I want Him as my Savior. Christians are here who say, you know, there's things in my life, I know they're in the dark, and I need to get rid of them. I need to deal with them. Whatever God's leading you to do, as we stand together,